Welcome. Thanks for checking out Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene. I'm Michael Costello, the lead pastor here, and I appreciate you taking the time. I hope you find this message encouraging and challenging. If you haven't already, check out our website, gcnaz.church, and get all the information about us. We look forward to seeing you soon. Well, thank you for tuning in for week three of our series, Jesus is dot, dot, dot. We've been looking at different ways we can understand Jesus and understand our relationship with him. And so in week one, we talked about Jesus is your friend. He's the best kind of friend. He's a friend that never fails and so on and so forth. And then last week, we talked about Jesus' grace. If we look at his life, if we look at his teachings, if we look at just his death and resurrection, it all points to grace, grace and truth. Well, this morning, we're going to take a look at Jesus is the point. Jesus is the point. Now, I would encourage you, if you have not already, if you weren't here, and were not able to see the first two messages, they all kind of tie together. So I would encourage you to do that. There are two ways to actually go back and take a look at our messages. First of all, you can go to Facebook and take a look at them there. There's a whole library of videos, messages going back many, 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 many moons for our church. But if you want the most recent sermons, you can go to our new, brand new website, gcnaz.church, gcnaz.church. And if you go to the media page, you'll be able to see all of the most recent sermons, including these last two sermons for this new series, Jesus Is. So you'll be able to see the slide that you see in front of you. Jesus Is, Find a New Way to Be Human. You'll be able to see that and then see the title of each message. So I encourage you to do that. Now, as we dive in this morning, the reality that I want you to begin to process is that every human being needs a purpose, a central purpose, a guiding star, if you will. Something that directs our path. And that is what helps human beings be successful and fruitful in our lives. And I would argue that Jesus is that point that we should be going towards. Jesus is, for a lack of a better way of describing it, the North Star. You know, if we're out in the middle of the woods and it's dark outside and we don't have a compass and we don't have our phone with a GPS capability, we need to look at the North Star. At least then we know which direction we're heading. If we're heading towards the North Star, we're going north. If we head away from the North Star with it right behind us, we're heading south. And, you know, obviously if it's on our left, we're heading east. And if it's on our right, we're heading west. Very simple. But Jesus is our North Star. He gives us direction. He gives us purpose. To look at it another way, Jesus is our lighthouse. We've been singing about that on Wednesday nights for the last few weeks. And there's a song by Wren Collective that talks about that. And it's a wonderful song. If you've never heard it, look it up. Wren Collective, My Lighthouse. But Jesus is our lighthouse. If you've ever been on the sea or know anyone on the sea or seen any of the videos or paintings of a storm, a tempest for a ship, there's always that lighthouse. And any person who has been out on a boat before will tell you that a true lighthouse has such a bright light that even in the densest of fog, oftentimes you can still see that light shining. You may not exactly know which direction you're going, but you're going to follow that light until you find the lighthouse. That's Jesus. Now, this morning, I'm going to make this really easy on us. We only have 3 points to look at. Okay, so if you're a journal taker, there's only 3 things for you this morning that you'll have to write down, okay? So first thing is this, point number one. Jesus is the ultimate answer. Jesus is the ultimate answer. Now, I'm going to really get us started with a verse that is encouraging, uplifting, and edifying for the church. You ready? Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher. completely meaningless. Have a great week. I'm just kidding. I'm not ending the sermon there. Such a depressing thing to read, right? Everything is meaningless, completely meaningless. Now, if you read that out of context, just as we did there, it would be depressing. But it's important to understand the context in which this is being written by Solomon. Now, if you don't know anything about Solomon, Solomon was David's son, King David, who's spoken often of in the Bible. King David wrote most of the Psalms. King David is heralded as the best king that Israel ever had. Solomon, being his son, was considered by many in Judeo-Christian thought to be, outside of Jesus, the wisest, most intelligent human being that's ever lived. I don't know if that's true, but what I will say is this. He wrote the book of Proverbs, which is a lot of wisdom, and he wrote Ecclesiastes, again, a book of wisdom, and even though it's depressing in a lot of ways, it's a book of wisdom. But there's something else that we need to understand about Solomon. Solomon spent much of his life pursuing the wrong things. Solomon pursued wisdom, which in and of itself is not a bad thing. Pursuing knowledge, pursuing wisdom is not a bad thing. But if that's your end goal, to just be the wisest person there is, that's not the right goal. He also pursued wealth, large amounts of wealth. Again, wealth in and of itself is not a bad thing, but when that's the pursuit of your life, that's a problem. He also pursued personal pleasure a lot. That's why Solomon had concubines and multiple wives and all of this stuff. He was pursuing the wrong things. And so as he begins to pen Ecclesiastes, he recognizes, as God is revealing things to him, that all that stuff he's been pursuing his entire life is worthless, meaningless, when compared with God's wisdom, God's knowledge, God's love. That our relationship with God is much more important than wisdom, wealth, or pleasure. Listen to what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 16. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. That's Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate answer to life's big questions. And he is the central point to our existence as human beings. Everything that has been created is for him. All of our running around, scurrying, and trying to figure out things needs to be for him. He is the purpose that we have. His will, his desire for us should be our point of reference. It should be, again, the North Star that we are following. Point number two. Jesus reclaims our purpose. With what Jesus did on the cross, with what Jesus taught in his life, Jesus reclaims our purpose. And if you don't know this already, the world attempts, sometimes wins, at stealing our purpose. The enemy desires to steal your purpose, your God-given purpose, your God-given identity as a child of the King. The enemy, the world, desires to steal that from you. But Jesus, through his death and resurrection on the cross, he reclaims that purpose. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus says this, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." You notice there that Jesus doesn't say, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else, live righteously, and he'll give you everything you want, everything you desire." Jesus doesn't say that. God will give you everything you need. Jesus will give you everything you need, not from your own perspective of need, but what God knows you need. I don't want to beat you down too much, but guess what? God knows better than you what you need. And thank God for that. Right? Amen? God has knowledge that goes way beyond anything that we have. And he knows what you need before you know you need it for yourself. Now, people seek their purpose outside of Jesus all the time. There are people who are pursuing careers, pursuing otherworldly families and situations and circumstances that are so completely removed from where God has them that it causes all kinds of turmoil, heartache. We could go through a list of all the ways that people seek purpose outside of Christ. Can I tell you that your career does not define you? Can I tell you that your family structure doesn't define you? The sins of your father and your mother don't define you? The triumphs of your family don't define you? Your identity as a child of the King defines you. That's what gives you life and purpose, is your identity as a child of the King. So what does seeking the kingdom of God above all else look like today? What does it mean to seek God's kingdom? Well, it means to live into the purpose and plan that Jesus has for you. And I say for you because it's different for all of us. Now, there may be similarities. Pastor Tommy and myself, we're both pastors. But our callings are different. Our paths have been different. But we each have a calling on our life, a purpose that God created us for. Seeking the kingdom of God means you are surrendering to that and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you in the ways that the Holy Spirit sees fit without us getting in the way. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, he's speaking of the things that he was living with. I mean, he was a Pharisee. He had power. He had authority. He had wealth. He was respected. And as he's talking about these things, he says, "I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I can gain Christ." All of those earthly pursuits that Paul had been doing, he calls it garbage. And why is it garbage? because it didn't have anything to do with Jesus. Because for Paul, when he was Saul, Jesus wasn't the point. Destroying Jesus and his followers was the point at that time in Paul's life. And as Paul begins to understand who Jesus is, as Paul begins to understand that Jesus has a calling and a purpose on Paul's life, Paul recognizes that everything else that came before was worthless and meaningless, that it was garbage. He came to the same realization several hundred years later after Solomon. Isn't that interesting? Making Jesus the point of our life, it reorients our sense of purpose and meaning in our lives. When Jesus is the point of our life and he is the pursuit of our life, our priorities change. The things that matter to us change. We're not praying for things that have no value. Here's our third point this morning. Final point. No pun intended. Jesus is the eternal point. Because you see, this isn't just about this life. It can be really easy for us as human beings to kind of just put ourselves into a box and say, our life is just this. What we experience here on earth is it. That's not the reality, folks. There is something beyond this life. And we have the choice to make it something good, something great, something wonderful, or to choose something altogether worse. Jesus is the eternal point. Jesus came to die on that cross so we could have eternal life with him. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our present troubles are small and they won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever." Eternity is real. This is not all there is. There is a heaven. There is a hell. They are real places that exist. Eternity is hard for us as human beings to wrap our minds around. But when we begin to understand, at least in a small way, that there is an eternal future for us, it redefines our perspective on this life, on our struggles, on our triumphs. I had a coach tell me that we don't get up too up when we win, and we don't get too down when we lose. There's got to be perspective, right? And the same is true in this life. It can be worse. And no matter how good it is, it can be better. Because there is a place called heaven that is better than anything that we could ever begin to perceive. And there's also a hell, which is the worst possible place you could ever imagine. Our present struggles are only a season. They're only for a time. Listen to what John writes of what Jesus said in John chapter 14, 1 through 3. "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me," me being Jesus. "There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am." Jesus is preparing a place for you. Whether you're watching online or whether you're here in person, Jesus is preparing a place for you. It is your choice whether you take that eternal truth or not. To take a secular, colloquial term, your destiny is in your hands. Your future, your eternal future is in your hands. Jesus has already made the choice. Jesus wants you in heaven. But you've got to accept him and believe in him and live for him. And if you begin to understand that eternity is real and that there is a home being prepared for you by Jesus, that provides comfort and hope, church. That is good news. You see, we need to know how to make Jesus the point of our lives. We need to begin to understand this. Listen to what Luke says. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. He said to the crowd, "If any of you wants to be my follower," this is Jesus, "you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me." So there are four things that we need to do. I want to give you some action steps. Four things that we can do to make Jesus the point of our lives. And if you're not doing these four, get on it right now. You can change today. You can make these four things a part of your life today. First thing you need to do is surrender. You need to let go of self-centered goals. Let go of your selfish ambition. Guess what? Your career doesn't follow you into the afterlife. And your days are not guaranteed. There are other things more important in this life, and that's our eternity, our relationship with Jesus. We must focus on his will and his way. You notice in this passage, it said, you must give up your own way. It's not about you. Number two, you need to commit to spending time in prayer and in his word. We've been saying this week after week. It's not going to stop. It's still true, will always be true. The word and prayer matter. You need to make a serious commitment to Christ, which means talking to him, listening to him, reading his word. That's a serious commitment. Number three, you need to follow. You need to take up your cross daily. Follow him. Like with commitment, we need to be willing to follow Jesus' way, no matter what that means for us individually. And the same is true for us corporately as a church. We need to be willing to follow Jesus, even if it beats down our traditions, even if it beats down our methods of doing things. We need to be willing to sacrifice and to follow Jesus wherever he takes us, as individuals and as a church body, because I'm willing to follow his lead, not my own. I'm willing to sacrifice for him, not myself. I'm willing to do what it takes to see his kingdom built. For you, we are all called. We all have gifts that he has given us. And he's called us and gifted us in vastly different ways. We are not the same. We're not automatons. Automatons, whatever the word is. We're not robots. But we're all called. We all have gifts. We need to use them for the building of his kingdom. And the fourth thing, we need to love. We need to love God and others as ourselves. I'm not going to spend too much time on this today because we've talked about this over the last few weeks. But as 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, Paul tells us, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. Like I've said this entire message, Jesus is the ultimate point of life. Jesus is our North Star. He is our lighthouse. He is our focal point. I want to encourage you, as we close this morning, keep Jesus as the focal point in everything. Keep him at the center of your life. Let your life revolve around him. As our planet orbits the sun, our life should orbit the sun. Philippians 2:13 says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." Not what pleases you, or your spouse, or your kids, or your parents, or your grandparents, or your grandkids, your aunts, cousins, uncles, coworkers, friends. You need to be, your life needs to be focused on pleasing God and doing his will. I want to invite you to reflect on whether Jesus is the point of your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being such a great example. Father, help us to make you the point of our life. Help us to make you the true North Star that we follow. And Father, we pray that you continue and you will complete the good work that you began in us so long ago. Father, I pray for each one here, everyone who's watching online. God, continue to move in their life. Continue to teach them. Continue to grow them. Pray this in your name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. You have a great week. Again, as I said before, just a reminder, if you're watching on Facebook, we have a brand new website relaunched just this week, gcnaz.church, and all of our information will be up there. We're still working out some of the kinks. We're learning as we go on updating it and all of those things, but it'll be a well-oiled machine here pretty soon. But it is a fabulous website, much easier to find information. Pastor Tommy, Evelyn, myself, we put in a lot of work to make it what it is, and we hope that it helps you in communicating who we are as a church. Well, church, love you. Hope you have a great week. May you go into the world with Jesus as the point of your life. We'll see you next time.